Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the In-Between Podcast. I'm your host, Elizabeth Cheney. Very happy to have you all back with me on another episode, another week. Woo! How's it going? How's everyone doing? Are we thriving? Are we not thriving? What's the 411? What's the sitch? Not sure if you remember from last week. I talked about how I was going to do some maybe mini episodes in the coming weeks, do like weekly affirmations, really just kind of weekly inspiration. Basically, it's probably going to be some quotes that your girl was like, oh my gosh, this is poignant. This is deep. This is inspiration. So yeah, we're going to call them Lizdoms, and it's going to be just a little talk through around whatever. And hopefully it's set to inspire you for your week, your day, whatever it is. I'm hoping to get to start those in the next week. Actually, start those next week. If not, then week following. Got to give myself a buffer here. So yeah, look out for Lizdoms, your weekly Lizdom. Isn't that cute? I think so. Anywho, let's get into today's episode. I want to talk about mental health. And as you all know, I am very much an open book and I enjoy talking about mental health. But there's a twist in today's episode. I'm going to talk about languishing. Some of you may not be familiar with that term. I'll go into it in a second. And the whole reason why I wanted to talk about it is because I self-diagnosed myself thinking that this is what I've been experiencing the past couple of weeks. I felt so disconnected. I have felt like, dang, I can't get quite back on the horse. Like I get one foot up there, but then like I just fall back over and I'm like, dang, what is it the boots? Is it the cowgirl hat? What is it that can't get me back on the steed, so to speak, right? So we're going to talk about languishing. We're going to talk about what it means. And then we're going to talk into Liz's self-diagnosis and the humor that transpired from my therapy session when I was corrected on what I was experiencing. All right, so languishing. The APA defines languishing as an absence of mental health. Now we all know exactly what it is. No. But it's kind of like an in-between. Oh, listen to that. An in-between between flourishing and depression. So languishing is failing to make progress or be successful. It's stagnant, unmoving. You don't feel good, but you don't feel bad. You're just not as present as you used to be. Maybe you're more apathetic. You're not really having a purpose, but it's not like extreme emotion. It's just meh. Literally, languishing is meh, M-E-H, meh, 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 joyless, aimless. But it's different from depression because, as I mentioned just a second ago, it's not extreme emotions. And from what I've read and kind of what my therapist and I talked about, even though you're not inspired, you're just kind of stagnant. You're just kind of drifting through the wind, so to speak. Do you ever feel like a plastic bag drifting through the wind? Only to start again, to quote our infamous Katy Perry firework. But seriously, it's the difference between depression is the extreme emotion comes with depression typically. And with languishing, even if you're feeling kind of stuck or stagnant, certain things that do bring you joy can inspire joy in the moment. Typically when you're depressed, you're just really not happy at all or inspired. And also understand I'm not a counselor. I am not a therapist. So if anything sounds interesting, please go online, research it yourself, or talk to your therapist. But languishing. I read a psychology article somewhere not too long ago where it said, best strategies for managing emotions is being able to understand them, being able to name them. So here's a new term for you, languishing. You are uninspired. You are having a hard time kind of focusing maybe on your purpose in life or what you've given yourself your purpose, but you're just kind of in a middle ground. You're not happy, but you're not sad. You're just kind of meh, meh. Well, the reason I kind of thought, man, I must be dealing with this term, this languishing, because I don't feel as depressed. I don't feel depressed like I did last year when I was going through my depression episode, but I wasn't quite feeling inspired. I was actually I've been having a lot of bad anxiety lately and imposter syndrome and overwhelming, which I know you're probably thinking, Elizabeth, the past couple episodes you've been on, girlfriend, talking about your inspiration. You've been making choices. You are the joy of missing out, not the fear of missing out. Have you been lying to us? Absolutely not. I have not. I think I was just not in denial, but I wasn't realizing what all this progress in life was actually doing to my anxiety, right? So I was thinking, dang, am I just overwhelmed? Am I biting off more than I can chew? Crap, I just made a big decision between those two competing priorities I told you about last week. So I feel kind of like a grown up big time. I feel like I'm being the boss, babe, of my grown up adult life. But yet at the same time, I'm starting to feel like I'm regressing. And I'm not going to lie, that does trigger me to be a little fearful that is my depression coming back. So that was one thing about languishing that I read is that when you start to feel this way, it's not that it always leads to depression. If you have anxiety and or depression, or you've experienced all that before, it could happen. I don't want to say I guess it is more likely, but doesn't necessarily mean it is going to happen. So then I started kind of being a little panicked, like, crap, oh my God, I'm about to be depressed again. What the heck? You know, where's all my tools and my toolkit that I developed over the past year and a half? Again, I just kind of thought maybe I was overwhelmed. Maybe I just feel kind of stuck in a way. You know, Stan and I are looking for a house now. We started the process earlier in the year and that was not ideal. Homes selling for hundreds of thousands of dollars or more than what they were priced at, skipping all of the contingencies, which is all the things you got to do before you buy the house. So basically people were just buying these homes, stupid amounts of money as is without any investigation kind of thing. So we're like, oh, we're going to stop. Well, now we're like, okay, we're back on because things are kind of leveling out a little bit. And I thought, well, maybe just because I've made this choice to focus on buying a house and it's real now, and maybe the effects of the apartment and that we're cooped up in this small space were really starting to affect me. Okay, maybe I'm languishing. I feel stuck. Boom. Self-diagnosis. I'm an expert. I don't know exactly what's going on. And not to say maybe there wasn't levels of the languishing, but I apparently was experiencing something a little bit different. So before I go into that in a second, I just want to go through languishing one more time. So languishing is this in between flourishing and depression. We're not sad, but we're not happy. We're pretty apathetic. It's just going through the motions of the day. Everything's kind of a fog. Remember, it's meh, right? Right. Doesn't mean you can't be inspired. Doesn't mean you can't get out of it. Doesn't mean it's going to sink into a depression. It just means, okay, maybe I need to look for a little bit more purpose. Maybe I need to be a little bit more intentional with my free time. Not to bring up time again, but I think being mindful of what we're using our time for when we are in those kind of negative spaces or meh spaces is very important. So as I've mentioned through the past couple of episodes, talking about time and this book I read, I actually finished it. It was phenomenal, except I must admit, the very end of the book basically recaps everything that I have hoot and hollered and raved about. And we get to the end, and in the last three sentences, he basically says, you know, here's the truth. Facing your finitude just means that that's it. Like, this is our existence. Boom, we're done. But that means that this is all we get, and there is nothing before or after. Let's just go there, you know, spiritualness aside. His point really was implying, because you're not guaranteed anything, because you don't know what happens after we die, isn't it beautiful that you get to use this time the way you want? Well, I didn't take it that way. I, all of the sudden, like this whole book that I've been hooting, hollering, raving about, basically interpreted that as, oh my God, there's no point to life. What am I doing? What am I doing? Oh my gosh. And then it just started to spiral. Now, this was this past weekend. And mind you, the past 2.5, not quite 3 weeks, almost, I've been feeling a little off. Okay. I was like crushing the morning routines. And then boom, it started to just kind of crumble. And not like my mental health necessarily, at least what I thought. It was just more my stress and, okay, well, I need to be mindful of my time. I need to, you know, make the choices best for me. That's going to give me the least anxiety. It's going to help me progress in this goal, this, that, who, ha, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know if I'm butchering what I'm saying, but basically just, I didn't really think that my anxiety was necessarily because of something else. I just thought, okay, I'm trying to do more, although I'm trying to pace myself and be more present. And isn't it funny? Like, the more we do and stuff we busy our schedules with and boom, 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 you know, hit the ground running, it's like we're burnout and stress. So when we react to that and go, whoa, 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 let me slow down. Let me be more presently focus on myself. Let me focus on my goals. Then it's like, oh, we're lazy and we're stuck or we're not progressing. So that's basically what was happening to me. Mind you, Remember last week I talked about the decision and how excited I was to finally make a decision on these two competing priorities. And it was, you know, looking for a house. Well, I've had a hard time opening up the apps. And I asked my therapist about that. And I was like, what the heck? And she's like, well, people with anxiety and ADHD, sometimes it's harder for them to start tasks. So I was like, okay, so I'm not crazy. Great. Cool. Cool. So I started opening up the apps again this past weekend, looking at the homes, not getting intimidated, overwhelmed. And so I was finally progressing towards that decision I had made to look for a house because, you know, the environment's not cool. So how come all this positive progress, it was like my anxiety was building. So I just thought maybe I'm languishing. I'm a little stuck. I'm not really vibing with my current environment. I'm just kind of like dealing with it because I can't change it right this moment because I don't think I'm getting depressed again. I'm just like, well, maybe it's just because I'm a little depressed. I've been depressed before. And because I get stressed, maybe that's why I'm not exactly as happy as I was. Maybe it's because I can't really focus on my goals or my morning routines or those little bitty things that I was, you know, talking about a couple of weeks ago. So I was so prepared to talk to my therapist about languishing. And guess what? I have diagnosed myself. I have helped you with your job. But I feel this way. Help me get through it. And I go through and I go through and I talk about this major anxiety attack I had on Sunday night. Of course, Sunday night. And I know Sunday scaries. We all are familiar with that, but not cool when they hit at like 11:30 PM. Okay. Right. So Sunday I start having like extreme anxiety. I started thinking about that book and I started thinking about our finitude as human beings. But rather than being like, yeah, choices, be mindful of our time. Instead, I was like, what am I doing with my life? Oh my gosh. What is the point? Is there any point to doing this podcast? Oh my gosh. Is there any point to doing this, to doing that? What am I doing? Oh my gosh. What if I just waste all my time and doing this podcast and doesn't do anything and doesn't go anywhere and doesn't help anybody, doesn't inspire me, doesn't inspire anybody else? Oh my gosh. I am a failure. What is the point in life? And then I started thinking about death. And I thought about Stan dying. I thought about my mom dying. I thought about just me dying. And then I thought, oh my God, your thoughts are magnets. I'm creating like the worst environment, the worst existence ever. Wow, that sounds pretty nuts, right? Right. So I went from 0 to 400 real quick. And if anybody who has anxiety, depression, ADHD, OCD, you're probably familiar with the anxiety spiral. It's different than ruminating because I think ruminating is more just like thinking about one thing. And I'm not saying ruminating can't lead to an anxiety spiral, but yeah, we were going down the drain from what am I doing with my life? There is no point. Is there any point to life? Oh my gosh, death. Is this why people don't get close to people? Because you don't want to love and then lose somebody? Ah! So I was like, I'm languishing for sure. So I go to therapy. I'm ready to go. And we're talking. And I'm explaining all this anxiety, this panic attack to her, these thoughts. And I'm just like, you know, I just can't. Let's call my therapist, Michelle. So I'm like, Michelle, you know, I don't know where all these thoughts came from. It's like really major imposter syndrome. Side note, is there a psychological term for imposter syndrome? So y'all know, apparently there's not. Millennials coined that. Flips hair. But she's supposed to let me know what is a more accurate psychological term for imposter syndrome. But anyways, I'm like, Michelle, I'm freaking out. I'm doubting everything. I'm questioning death. Why am all of a sudden all my thoughts going dark and gloomy? But at the same time, I'm not feeling depressed. So that's kind of also why I felt like I was languishing because I got extreme emotions all the time, people. All right. But the darkness of depression from what I experienced was the big differentiator when you're like, okay, the lights are all off. There is no light at the end of the tunnel. Where do I go? So I'm talking to her and she looks at me and she's like, so languishing is apathetic, this and this, basically everything I already told you. She's like, but the biggest thing about languishing is you're not really focusing on your life's purpose or what you, you know, consider your life's purpose. You're not really working towards that. You're just kind of in this meh. Well, she didn't say meh, of course, but again, maybe I just like saying meh because when do you get to use the word meh in an educational sense? But basically she was just saying, you know, that you're not really working towards something necessarily. You're not working on, like, you're apathetic. You're just whatever about life. She's like, but that's not your case. And I was like, oh, now mind you, I'm very confident that I have educated myself and I am languishing, people. And she looks at me and I said, well, then what's going on, Michelle? And she goes, I think you're having an existential crisis. It's just funny when I say it out loud. Existential crisis. Is that not funny to you? As funny as it is to me? I mean, I've had plenty of those in my heyday, but wow. I was so assured. And then I was like, Michelle, I got fire content for this week's episode. We're going to talk about languishing. I think I'm going through it. I'm going to go through that with you and you're going to explain it. Boom, bat, boom, bam, boom. I even brought notes to my session people. And I was not languishing. I was, in fact, experiencing an existential crisis. So I said to her, I was like, is it because of that book? Is it because that book got in my head about not so much the afterlife, but like, what is the point to life? You make your own point. Right? That is what existentialism is that we create our purpose. And I do believe that in a sense. There is a part of me that thinks, okay, well, once we die, if there really is nothing, well, that's depressing and I'm not going to think about it. I will give myself purpose. And if I am just a joke and the joke's on me, I'm a clown, then fine. At least I'm a clown that thinks they're serving something bigger than themselves. Right? Right. So I asked Michelle, I'm like, is it because of this book? You know, this book that I raved about. And she goes, no, I think that might have been maybe the icing on the cake, but I think this has kind of been building for a couple of weeks. What? A few weeks? Here I was thinking I was just languishing. And apparently I've been building up to an existential crisis. So I said, all right, we're back to the drawing board here, Michelle. What do you mean? And don't think like, oh, well, you don't have like a therapist. She wasn't looking out for you. No, my therapist is amazing. She's been helping me. I just didn't realize that my anxieties were building and what they were building towards. So I'm like, okay, break it down to me, please. And she says, you've been very focused on big life choices lately. You're focusing on the podcast. That comes with some sacrifice and other endeavors and focus. And it also comes with this anxiety of not being able to predict the future and being able to predict the success and where it goes and how long it takes and in what direction it really goes. She's like, you also have made a big decision to finally focus on the house and looking for a house. And even though that sounds great in theory, when you start to actually work on it, it's especially when you're new, that's a big thing. It's a big deal. You don't quite know what you're doing. It's a big process. It's a big undertaking. She goes, you've really just been focusing on these big life goals, these big life decisions. And when you do that, when you have anxiety, you know, if you have depression, an existential crisis can start to occur because you're making these major life choices. And these decisions lead to deeper thoughts, right? Let's take the house, for example. Okay, gotta find a house. Okay, well, I don't have a house yet. This is gonna take a minute because, well, right now I don't really see anything that I really like that's in our price range in the areas that we're looking in. But at the same time, we're living in this apartment that is we've outgrown. You know, Stan still works at the kitchen table. I work in my little cooped up office. We still have so much stuff in storage that we haven't even been able to use. And it's just, okay, calm down, Liz, because we can't change our environment, right? We can't freak out. We gotta suppress that anxiety and just cope and deal until we can change it. So what's happening is I made the decision to look for a home, but it's not happened yet. And although I get that, duh, but it just kind of brings on this anxiety because now that you're focusing on something so huge that you're not quite exactly sure how it's all going to play out. I'm not saying we're not going to find a house, but I don't know about you, but I've never bought a house before. And if you look it up on the internet, it's terrifying. Had to stop looking at housing posts in certain groups I'm in because, you know, it's very divided. And I'm like, I don't know what to do. I just know that I hate my apartment. Oh my gosh. So existential crisis. And I told myself I wasn't going to have an existential crisis on the pod, but here we are. I'm just kidding. But it's just interesting how you're making progress. You're focusing on your goals. And then your mind, your thoughts are like, oh, are we feeling a little too good about our life right now? Let me just get back here in the driver's seat and just... That's basically what happened. So maybe you're languishing. Maybe you're just going through the motions of the day. You know, you're happy on the weekends. You get to see some friends here and there, but maybe you're just a little too cooped up and you're just feeling a little uninspired. You're not happy. Exactly. But you're not sad. You're languishing. Or you're making progress towards big life decisions, big life choices, getting closer to getting married. I don't know, something or another, buying a house, having kids, working on a big creative endeavor that you eventually want to be your career. And you're like, oh my gosh, am I crazy? Is the joke on me? And maybe you're having an existential crisis. But this is what I took from everything. We cannot predict the future. Oh, what? We can't. Yeah. No, we can't. We can only put one foot in front of the other. And maybe this podcast fails. I don't really know what that would look like. Because, I mean, failure and success is all defined within ourselves. Like, we all each have our own version of that in every endeavor. But I do know that with failure comes experience, and with experience comes success, comes progress. I'm not saying this podcast is going to fail. Hell no. If anyone knows me, I'm driven, and I don't give up. And this is something that I'm very passionate about, and something that I love doing, and I love connecting and just talking about shit that I'm going through, that we're all going through, and hoping that maybe something of this registers with you. But when we are putting effort, putting energy towards goals, towards things that to us is part of our purpose, is part of our life's journey, our life's path, it's common and to be expected, these thoughts of life beyond and what these choices may mean and questioning them and doubting them. It's like imposter syndrome on an existential level. It's existential syndrome. Imposter existential? I don't even know. We'll play with that one later. But maybe you're like me. Maybe you are right at the edge of the next chapter in your life and you can feel it. You know something big is about to happen. And that necessarily mean you're going to win the lottery, but big for your growth, your personal development. And maybe you feel like me where I've been in a cocoon. I was a little calipitter. And past year and a half, 2 years, I've been in a cocoon. You know, I didn't quite realize it, you know, because I was kind of going through some shit mental health wise. But I was growing. I was evolving because I refused to give up. And I'm always working on myself. And I think we're always a work in progress because one, I don't like suffering when my anxiety wants to make me do so. So it's like, well, what can I do to stop that? What can I learn to quit my thoughts doing here? Blah, 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 blah. So I was in this cocoon and I feel like I am the butterfly, but there's something wrong with the cocoon. I can't quite break out. Like maybe part of my wings out. I got some of the legs, but crap. What the heck? I'm like stuck to it somehow. It's like, I can't find what's holding me stuck in that cocoon. So maybe you're in that boat. It's not languishing. I promise. Maybe you're having an existential crisis, which sounds extremely terrifying. But here's the thing. One, I don't know if there's another term. So maybe that's why it's crisis. But two, it doesn't have to be extreme because maybe my panic attack Sunday night was. But once I talked to my therapist and I kind of realized, oh, well, that makes sense. Guess what, everybody? I'm Gucci. I'm feeling fine. I feel so much better. And I'm like, how can I go from just questioning my existence on this plane to like, hey, girl, hey. Gosh, isn't mental health fun? Isn't life fun? Because that's really what it is. Just know, as we are growing and we are working towards bigger goals, bigger life decisions, life choices, life ambition, life dreams, those tend to bring on anxieties and thoughts about our existence and what we're building towards and questioning all of that, questioning our worth, questioning our trajectory, questioning our intention. It's just part of the plan. It's just part of the game, the game of life, so to speak. So don't let the negative self-talk derail you. You are making progress. There is still the joy in missing out and the choices that we make. And guess what? There is the possibility that we don't know what happens after we die. But you know what? I don't want to say who cares, but I do want to say, let's not focus on that. Let's just focus on creating the best life for us and sharing that with the people around us and thriving. The sky's the limit. And when we have those negative thoughts, we just remind ourselves, okay, this is just coming with the trade because I'm focusing on my life's purpose. But anyways, I hope you're not having an existential crisis. I hope you are just maybe PMSing or something and it's nothing. I hope you're all just thriving in your mental health. But if not, maybe today's talk kind of gave you some things to think about. Maybe you're going to go Google what languishing means. I don't know, but I just want you to know that I'm here for you. We're all in this together, this emotional spiral roller coaster, bag in the wind, but also somehow exhilarating and exciting life that we're living. Remember from the top of the episode, I said, the best strategies for managing emotions is to name them. Well, we just named two. Thank you all for joining me this week. I'm really excited about next week's episode. I'm bringing my girl Courtney back. She was my very first guest when I started my friendship series. Maybe I should repost those episodes now that I've got some followers, because I think it's some great content. We talk about professional friends, how do we make friends as adults, and how to be a good friend. But Courtney's coming on, and we're talking about motivation. What motivates us? Where do we find motivation? Ooh, inspiration. Ooh, you know, talking about those big life things. Maybe it'll lead to another existential crisis. Yay! I'm just kidding. No, we're all good. We're all good here. And even if it does happen again, guess what? I'll either just talk about it on the pod or I will overcome. Hey, side note, really quick, for anybody who does deal and struggle with major anxiety and things like that, one thing that my therapist told me about, like when you're having a really bad panic attack or an existential crisis, sensory things are really helpful. So she was like, maybe jumping in and taking a cold shower, grabbing a thing of ice. I would not recommend putting your hand in boiling water because that would not work out quite well. Maybe you solve your anxiety problem, but then you're going to have a burnt hand. So we're not going to do that. But, you know, think ice, cold, something like that. Maybe go outside if your, you know, house apartment is cool from the AC, walk outside for the sunshine, things like that. So anywho, very excited next week's episode. And also look out for Lizdoms, your weekly Lizdom, coming to an Instagram social media post near you. Thank you so much for joining me. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Hey, if you did, go leave me a review. Go like, rate, 5-star, you know what I mean, on that Apple, that Spotify, that Google, wherever you listen to your podcasts. And if you don't do it already, shame on you, but give me a follow, Instagram at in.betweenpod, and you can find me on TikTok at the In Between Podcast. So until then, I hope you all have a wonderful week without existential crises, no languishing, and you're just out there thriving your best beautiful butterfly self. And until then, I'll see you next time. I'm Elizabeth.